neighbors of that location. The first thing we did in the middle of September is Jonathan sent out a certified letter to the adjacent property owners.
Yeah. And just December. Just
December. And a couple weeks, just notifying them that that was a site that was going to be considered. Shortly thereafter, the mayor's office sent out a notice to over 50 business owners, property owners, and residents that are in roughly a two-block area or more of the proposed site. We asked them to give us feedback and also attend a meeting with Mayor Potter to discuss their concerns. This was all first steps in establishing the good neighbor agreement process, with Judith is going to talk more about in just a bit. That meeting took place on January 3rd. Six people showed up from the community, and some feedback that we got at that time that wasn't enough notice, and it was during the holidays. So we decided to hold a second meeting. A first-class letter went out to all business owners, property owners, and residents in that area, inviting them to a second meeting, requesting feedback. And that meeting took place on February 28th, last Thursday, in which two people showed up. And I'm going to turn it over to Judith so she can kind of talk more about the good neighbor process.
Good morning. I'm Judith Maurer, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and we have begun a good neighbor agreement process with the stakeholders, which include near neighbors. And one of the first steps, as Kevin said, was to give people a chance to get caught up on what had happened and what the process had been and what was going on. So we've had those two meetings now. Resolutions Northwest has begun an outreach where they're going to go door to door to make sure that people are aware of the Good Neighbor Agreement, what it means, what the opportunities are. And then they will continue to pull people together. They've already got a meeting set up with VOS to talk with them. We'll be including the neighborhood associations and the groups that, you know, are representative of folks in that area. You know, as you know, we've had very good success in the city addressing people's concerns, setting expectations, and creating solutions for day-to-day livability through the use of good neighbor agreements. The police will be involved with that, crime prevention, and any neighbors and other neighbors that are interested in being a part of that.
So that pretty much brings us up to date. And as far as next steps, if this is approved by council today, that will enable VOS to begin negotiations on the lease agreement with PDC. Currently, there is a tenant on that property, Bob Wentworth, and he's agreed to relinquish that lease and is supportive of the overall higher site project. It will give him 30 days in which to do that. At that point, VOS would be able to occupy the property. They need to do some work on the property, get their electric hooked up. Also, according to the site plan that was presented to you, bring in a mobile trailer that will be used as an office, put up the tent structure and the bathrooms, and that kind of work. So that there would be about a 60-day lag between the signing of the lease and the actual opening of the center. And so that would bring us into May, first week of May, as a target for opening of the higher site, which is an important date. And why this is an emergency ordinance is that there is a peak of day laborers in the summer season, especially starting in June. So it is our goal to have the center open by then. And that concludes our presentation. If you have questions
from commissioners.
So the structures on the site would be a portable trailer and a tent, is that what you said?
Yes.
And how many people can be accommodated, roughly?
Because in the trailer itself, it would be small. That's more of an office space for the coordinator work. The tent is rather large. Mm-hmm. Inside the tent, I believe it was estimated 40 to 45 people. I'd have to look at that specifically again. But on site outdoors, there's room for more people that might be in that parking
lot. And will it have the circular driveway on the property?
Yeah. Yes. Well, not circular. The entrance would be off of MLK, so cars that were pulling up, we could pull completely off of MLK into the higher site where they'd be graded by a coordinator, and off the street, and then exit onto Everett Street. There's two curb cuts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have a graphic.
So what about, are there going to be rules about first come, first serve, and things like that?
That's a good question, Commissioner. There will be rules set by VOLS in conjunction with the day laborers themselves. What we learned in our best practices is that that's decision of how to select workers is best decided by those who are participating in the system, basically getting their buy-in that everybody agrees to those rules. So that's one of the steps that VOLS will be doing upon transition of meeting with day laborers and getting an agreement on how they want to give out the jobs.
How do they do it in Seattle?
Seattle does.
There's three ways they do dispatch. Some people call in and dispatch work. They have some type of lottery system, and they also have specific skills. So depending on what someone comes in, if someone comes in for a particular trade, they've sort of identified people by skill sets, but they've also have sort of a list of how people come in and they get dispatched that way.
Okay. So we're awarding $200,000, and I'm looking at a budget that shows a $213,000 budget for this year and then a $190,000 for next year. So how does the
That's right. VOLS as a nonprofit organization does have a responsibility to raise additional funds as well. So it's not the city filling the whole entire VOLS budget. They will need to look at that. And from the first year, $13,000 in fundraise. Because this is one-time funds, as it is now, once that $200,000 runs out, they'll be responsible for getting more funding. Why this is so important is once the site is running and we've made this investment, it will be easier for VOLS to fundraise for a project that exists other than one that doesn't exist right now. So.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've invited two folks to come up and testify from the community, Terry Taylor, the Central East Side Industrial Council Executive Director, and Kalpana Krishnamurthy. She's with the Western State Center. Please go ahead.
Greetings. My name is Terry Taylor. I'm the Executive Director of the Central East Side Industrial Council. The Central East Side Industrial Council is in support of VOSA's Work Rights Education Project in their bid to run the City of Portland-funded Day Laborer Center. A worker center would provide a comprehensive set of services for day laborers such as employment, English language skills, legal education, and training. These services will help integrate day laborers into local community and economy. VOSA has over 10 years' experience working to empower day laborers in Portland to take control over their working conditions and to exercise their collective power to address the issues they face. VOSA has done effective work in promoting the rights of day laborers through organizing, leadership development, and community education. The CEIC supports the creation of a day labor center and encourages the city to approve the application submitted by VOS to create and operate the center for the City of Portland.
My name is Kalpana Krishnamurthy, and I'm the Race and Gender Justice Programs Director at the Western State Center here in Portland, Oregon. Western State Center is an organization that works regionally in eight states in the Pacific Northwest to support community-based organizations that work for social change. There are a lot of points that you're going to hear during the open mic. You're going to hear from union leaders who support this. You have letters of support. You're going to hear from businesses. You're going to hear from archdiocese and other religious leaders. You're going to hear from other community-based organizations that support VOS and support this day labor hire site. You're also going to hear, I think, from one of the most important constituencies. You're going to hear directly from day laborers about how this hire site will actually streamline and increase their economic security in the community of Portland. So I'm not going to try to reiterate the points that they're going to make. Instead, I'll just focus on three things that I think are really critical for the city commissioners to focus on, which are, one, why Portland needs a formal day labor hire site, two, that I think this is actually a city process we should be very proud of, and three, that to be quite honest, this is the easiest part. Making this decision is the easiest part. The hard work that BOSE will need to do to actually make this hire site work is some of the next steps and how, as a community, we're going to be looking to support BOSE with that work. So I'll start with why we need a formal hire site. Let me start by just saying day laborers have and always have been a part of the Portland economy and the Portland community. Day laborers have always worked in this community. The faces of those laborers may have changed, but the existence of day laborers is not in question. We know that day laborers have always been in our community. Today, Portland's day laborers remain amongst our most vulnerable workers. They don't have basic work safeties. They have no protections against wage gouging. They have very little recourse when preyed upon by unscrupulous employers. A formal hire site provides a safe, secure, clean, and organized location for contracting processes between employers and day laborers. The Portland hire site will also establish productive and collaborative dialogues between businesses, community officials, and the police, contractors, workers, and the community in Portland. Around the country, we do know that day labor hire sites work. They have a proven track record of finding mutually beneficial solutions to conflicts between businesses and day laborers. A formal hire site will actually give local area businesses a place to share their concerns and address their complaints. There is nothing like that right now. There is no way for day laborers to actually respond to and meet the needs of business area community folks. This hire site actually provides the tools for a dialogue to between businesses and between community members and between the area neighborhoods and day laborers. So we can do things like improve signage. We can do things like provide training. We can address other concerns that the community may have with day laborers. For the past 20 years, day labor centers and hire sites have been successfully meeting business and labor needs. Today, there are more than 80 day labor centers and hire sites around the country, including the really successful model in Seattle. I want to move next to the city process. You heard from Kevin and from Jonathan about the city process. And again, I want to reiterate, I believe this is a process that the city of Portland can actually be really proud of. There were 4 stakeholder meetings. There were focus groups in July and August. There was a feasibility study done by professionals that study feasibility things. There were a series of meetings done with stakeholders one-on-one. There was significant notification, not once but twice, of area residents and businesses and an ongoing commitment to good neighbor agreements. This, again, let me just state, is a process that the city of Portland should be proud of. Finally, as I said in my opening, quite frankly, this is the easiest part of the decision. You all approving this funding, you made the decision in November of 2006. You had the conversation about why we need a hire site, and you know that this is the solution. All we're talking about now is the administration of the funds. So we know that you all know what the problems are. What the hard work that BOSE will need to do is actually make this hire site successful and transition day laborers from the corners to this actual work site. And in order to do that, BOSE has a number of supports that I think it's important the City Commission is aware of. The first one is that all of the folks who are at the table and in this room will continue to support BOSE. So Western State Center, TACS, the National Day Labor Organizing Network will actually be on site with BOSE for the month prior to the opening in order to help transition and help BOSE staff make those conversations and focus groups happen with the day labor centers, day labor hire workers about how they want the site to function. Are we going to use a similar model to Seattle? Well, that's the day laborers' jobs to discuss, and Endelon will be on the ground working with BOSE to facilitate those dialogues and those conversations. In addition, BOSE has a number of different avenues for continuing to build community relations and address concerns, including having an advisory board structure that will meet ongoing post-hire site opening, and that will have seats for different designated stakeholders. So there will be business representatives, there will be community representatives at that table. So again, I think there are 3 points that the City Commission should approve this funding. You've already had the conversation about why we need it. We already know what the solution is. There's an active organization ready to make this a success, and we urge you to vote yes.
Thanks, folks. How many folks are signed up to testify?
We have 35 people signed up.
35?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to request folks keep their statements to 2 minutes, please. Call the first 3.
We have Ron Swearin, Tom Wenine, Mark Tweetenmeyer, and they'll be followed by Vince Powell, Glenn Kirkendall, and John Allred. That's Ron Swearin. Tom.
Just 1 second while we get the other folks up here.
Okay.
Ron Swearin, Tom Winine, Mark Tweetenmeyer.
Okay. Come on up. First three. Please come forward.
Yeah. Did you say 2 minutes?
Or three? Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Setting up a display. Now, sir, you have to give that to the council clerk. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. When you speak, please state your name for the record. Each have 2 minutes.
You can proceed. Okay. My name is Ron Swearin. I have three words I'd like you to remember if you don't remember anything else I say, and the three words are displaced American worker. Our government spent a lot of effort in trying to ensure that our policies provide full employment for American citizens. I participated in some of the hearings on OHSU. Those came at a time when we were in a recession, which is pretty common in Oregon. And I saw that as an opportunity that this city would create jobs for its citizens. Some of the things that was going on, I worked in Seattle till 2002 because there wasn't enough work here. The economy collapsed for about 3 years where there's very little employment. And then finally, for about a year and a half, I've had relatively full employment. And now it's collapsing again. We have a huge economic crisis with the possibility of banks defaulting. I was watching CNBC. They said there's probably 200 small banks on the verge of going under because they made loans to home builders, to small home builders. A lot of those home builders were employing illegal aliens. So what I'm saying is if we're creating policies for employment, we should look at creating them for American workers. Remember, displaced American workers vote. There's a groundswell in this country of people not identified with either of the major parties that is tired of being caught in a squeeze of diminishing employment opportunities and increasing taxes. And the Oregon voters are going to basically wash away a lot of these policies that now are encouraging illegal immigration. Do I have more time? Or?
Yeah, 15 seconds.
Okay. NAFTA is blamed often for a predicament. Mexico wanted NAFTA. They have 14 other free trade agreements, and they have enjoyed a trade surplus since the enactment of NAFTA. So that's another false issue that's been raised.
My name is Tom Winning. I'm a resident of Southeast Portland. I'm here to protest your proposal for a day labor site. The reason I'm protesting this is because it would violate several federal laws. Before I get into the laws you'd be violating, let me point you to the bottom of the laws here, and it states that you can be sentenced to death for violating some of these laws. So this is a serious issue. This is not some obscure laws they've got. First law you'd be violating would be knowing or recklessly disregarding the fact that an alien has come to, entered, or remains in the United States, or harboring such alien. Harbor means to provide a place of protection to. And I think Mayor Potter said you want to provide these guys protection, make it safe for them. Well, that's illegal. Another way of saying to harbor is to provide shelter to. And you're providing them with a tent for shelter against the rain and the sun. That's another violation of federal law. To harbor somebody, you don't have to harbor them in a building. You can harbor them outside. This is a point that's been approved by the federal courts. Another law you'd be violating, you'd be encouraging illegal immigrants to come to this country. Once you set up a place for them to get their jobs and all that, sure, why not come up here? You set it all up for them. Another crime that you're committing this very day and will continue to commit is conspiracy. In other words, you're engaging in any conspiracy to commit any of the above acts, the two that I've talked about. A fourth law that you would be violating, federal law, would be aiding and abetting illegal aliens coming into this country. And you will be aiding and abetting it after VOS takes over, because you're the ones that allowed VOS to proceed with this. Back to the penalties in this, you know, you should be concerned individually and collectively as the council for violating these laws. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to protect the citizens of Portland. It states right in these laws that if somebody you harbor critically injures or kills another person, either by accident or purpose, you will be held liable. And the people of the city will be held liable for civil suits. And that's why I'm here. Thank you. And it's two things I'd like to ask you. I'm sorry. One, obey the letter of federal laws.
Your time is up.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. I am Glenn Kirkendall from the Freedom Socialist Party. I'm here to support the Day Labor Center, and I commend Mayor Parter and City Council members responsible for moving this project forward, as U.S. trade agreements decimate the economies of our brothers and sisters to the South, they're compelled to immigrate to this hostile country. Unreasonable and racist immigration restrictions, politicians, media, and right-wing minutemen blame immigrants from Latin America and Mexico for our troubled economy. The reality is that the U.S. government's funding for the war in the Middle East, allowing big business to make policies that foster profits for a few, is devastating our economy. Day laborers have a right to safe working conditions, living wages, and to be treated with respect. This day labor center would provide opportunities for regulating available work and some protection from being exploited for cheap labor. The Freedom Socialist Party fully supports a day labor center in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you grab your sign over there, too?
Actually, I'd like to leave it here so you can judge the testimony you're about
you
to
can't.
Receive. Thank you.
Was there a Mark Tweetenmeyer? Oh, you're there. Thank you. We have Vince Powell, John Allred. They'll be followed by Martha Perez, Thomas McNamara, and Javine Rudane.
Could you do something? Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Mark Tweetmeyer. I'm a small business owner and property owner about 3 or 4 blocks away from the proposed hiring site. I'm concerned about the limited resources the City Council has and using them and dedicating towards this, but more long-term is how is this thing going to be funded long-term? I participated in several of the focus groups. Jonathan came and actually visited me and interviewed my concerns. I've heard no discussion at all about a fee for service. Both the employer and the employee, if they're going to use this service, they should pay a fee. I understand the $200,000 is kind of seed money. I don't agree with that position, but I think long-term, and that whole discussion was, what do we want this thing 5, 10 years from now? How's it going to be funded? I think those that receive the service should pay a fee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Vince Powell, a landowner and business owner in the area. January 3rd was the first meeting that I attended. And at that meeting, it was mentioned, thanking everybody for the last year and a half of participation and committee meetings and all the stakeholders and business owners that have been contacted. I have a business that's in the area. We've been in business for 75 years in Portland as a family business. I was never contacted. I'm less than a block away from the site. First notice I had of it was a letter mailed out on December 24th. There would be a meeting on January 3rd. I expressed complete displeasure in the city process at that time to have not been notified about the process that was going on. I said, where's the communication? They said we would have a meeting January 23rd. I started calling on January 21st, 22nd, no meeting. Meeting was canceled. So we followed up with more phone calls in February. When's the next meeting? Finally, there was an answer. The meeting's February 28th. I attend, find out that there's a city council meeting today about the process that's moving forward. I said, what happened to the last 6 weeks of communication from the mayor's office? Ask Kevin Easton. I said, is that communication? January 3rd, I asked for communication. There was nothing until February 28th, 2 days after the agreement signed with Voss. I was looking online. 2 days after some more things were signed, I asked the gentleman at that meeting that represents Voss, are your workers legal or are they illegal? He says, we don't ask. I asked the city council to keep that in mind when you're starting to fund money to help something, and we don't know if they're legal, and Voss, who's going to run it, told me, we don't ask. I ask you, we better make sure that they're legal workers if we're going to fund it. I don't think the city should be subsidizing it. I think there was a giant lack of communication. I'm reading something here that was handed to me at the January 3rd meeting. All stakeholders must be involved before, during, and after the establishment of the designated area. I wasn't involved before. I wasn't involved during. It's after we finally got invited. Thank you.
My name is John Allred. I'm one of the owners of Stark's Vacuums. We have been in business in the area for 76 years. We're celebrating that this month. We have 8 stores in the Portland metro area. I think this is an important issue. It's one that involves human dignity, business interests, landowner interests. And I think it's one that the city and project managers have actually done a pretty good job in establishing criteria to move forward on. The problem is that the project is moving forward without the criteria being satisfied. I want to talk about the notice issue that Mr. Powell addressed. When the first site was identified, the city did a pretty good job of identifying the stakeholders and getting them involved. And one of the criteria, as Mr. Powell mentioned, is that all stakeholders will be involved as part of the site selection process before, during, and after. I can define the problem for you as this. After the second site was identified, there has been no actual notice, no prior actual notice to any of the surrounding landowners and business owners. So the criteria of identifying those stakeholders and getting their participation in the site selection process has not been satisfied. I think that we as landowners and property owners should have the right to the same level of participation as the other stakeholders. So until the notice criteria and involvement criteria is satisfied, I think this council should not vote to fund the project and allow it to go forward. It goes along with the do it right concept, do it right the first time concept. And that leads me to one other point that I think I have a few seconds to make. One of the other criteria is evaluation of the impact on the surrounding neighborhood. Without involving us, it's difficult to evaluate what impact there may or may not be on our businesses and our land interests. I asked Kevin Easton from the mayor's office what impact he thought it would have on my business, and he said zero impact. Well, we've had human feces, syringes, people sleeping in our parking lots, and we've dealt with the day labor issue for some time. We've even hired security guards to make the soccer moms feel safe that are coming in and out of our stores. I don't think you can unilaterally declare that there will be zero impact and satisfy the criteria that evaluation of surrounding landowner interest has been met. Again, good criteria, but let's satisfy those criteria before we fund the project and move forward. Thank you.
Can I ask you just one question?
Yes.
Before you leave? You pointed out that currently, around the store, there are people that that do things that create human feces. There are syringes and people sleeping. Don't you think that the opening of this site will address those? I mean, will cause that to stop?
Actually, we addressed that by hiring private security guards, and we were successful in moving the day laborers. Now, I think the answer is no, because I'm going to say I think the answer is no, but I don't know. I would like to have that evaluated. My thinking on that is they have a site that will accommodate 45 people, they said. They told me they would have 70 to 200 people coming into this site on a daily basis.
But there are bathrooms there, and there are facilities that seems to address the very concern that you have that is currently happening.
Well, the site will be closed at noon. Will it attract people to congregate in that area afternoon? So this is a very small area. We've had Bologna Joe's. I have Detox on one side. Now we're going to have a day laborer on the other side. You know, for years, for decades, we've been working with PDC to revitalize this area. We've got Opus that I know now is a dead project. We have the Brit Hedge project. And at one time, we had Carl's Jr. interested in buying those properties to put a Carl's Jr.'s there. PDC said that was not an appropriate usage of that property, that we needed something more upscale there. And now we're putting a day labor. I think what we need to do is take a step back and evaluate the long-term impact on this very small area. I think if you're bringing in just 200 people a day, that may, they may be honest day laborers, but that's going to be your ground zero for an outlying population of perhaps, you know, we know it happens, drug users and prostitution and homelessness and other problems all begin to congregate in that central area on a very small site.
Great, thank
so
you.
So it's mostly an evaluation issue is what I'm asking for.
No, sir, I discussed this with you, and you said at the time that you felt a lot of the problems emanated from the sobering center.
From the what?
Sobering center, detox.
Oh, from detox? Yes, we have had problems with detox. For the most part, to their credit, they have been a good neighbor. We still have some ongoing problems with them. The actual source of those problems, I honestly can't say. I know we've had a lot of loitering and problems we've needed to deal with over time. I know that when we hired the security guards to stop the loitering in our parking lot and to move day labor down towards the bridge, those problems went away. So honestly, I don't know. I just think we're moving too fast and we're funding a project and haven't met the criteria that the city itself has established for moving forward.
Thanks, folks.
I would love to be more involved with
those. Next three are Martha Perez, Thomas McNamara, and Genevieve Rudane.
Could you read the three names again?
Thomas McNamara. You're passing. Thank you. Valerie Chapman. They'll be followed by Billy Burlingham, Emily Cobby, and Bryce Perry, I believe it is.
Folks, when you speak, state your name for the record. Each have 2 minutes.
You good to go? Hi, good morning. My name is Marta Perez, and I'm a general political activist. I'm also running for city commissioner. I reside at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 110 in Portland, Oregon, 97209. I'm here to state my support for the Day Laborer Center. I think we need to strike a balance between the needs of the business community and that of the legitimate needs of the Day Laborer Center. I think this is a ground opportunity to prove to the rest of the nation that, you know, different interests can coincide together peacefully in a good way, in a mostly productive manner, that can also show that this is a goodwill project that we wish to contribute. And so the seed money is one thing. You know, my opinion is that the money is there. The money will always be there. It's just the people that don't always show up. But someday, one day, you know, the people will show up, and then God help the money. I'd like to stay within my time frame. We have about 57 seconds. I'd like to dedicate this testimony to the ongoing struggle that the Del Monte workers continue to face. The story on that is not yet finished being written. And I'd also like to acknowledge the immigrants who rallied recently at the state capitol in Salem. They are very brave, and, you know, despite all the obstacles that they face, I support them. And just one more thing, the crackdown on immigration applies to not just only Hispanics, but to all other races. And I applaud the work that ERCO does on a daily basis with respect to this matter. So let's work together. Let's find solutions. And let's, you know, because we have other issues that are just as important that we need to work on. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Genevieve Rudney, and I've been a volunteer with VOS for 3 years as an English teacher with the day laborers. And I'm here on behalf of the other English teachers who volunteer on a daily basis with the day laborers. We, more than anyone, are right there with them on the corner every day, talking to them about their needs, their experiences in that space. And I want to come out in very strong support of them and of VOS in this process towards getting the day labor center. It's going to be an incredible benefit to their community. They, as workers, are just waiting for a chance to be able to separate themselves from those negative elements that business people are talking about. They're waiting for the chance to prove that they can have this space and make it work for the entire community. I've also been attending the City Hall meetings on this issue for the past year and have watched the process unfold. I think that the City of Portland has done an incredible job of involving all the stakeholders in this process, and that now's the time really to prove to the day laborers that you're going to give them a chance to show that they can really become an integral part of Portland in a positive way, because they have a lot to offer, and they're really incredible workers who add a lot to our community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, commissioners. My name is Valerie Chapman. I'm the pastoral administrator of St. Francis Church in Southeast Portland, which has been the home of VOS since June of 2000. And so I've had the opportunity to have a lot of interactions with the day laborer community and begin to understand some of the concerns that they have about safety, about being out in the weather, about the process of looking for work on our streets. At the same time, St. Francis Church has been a longtime member of the Central East Side Industrial District. So over the last 10 years, I've heard many conversations from business people with the in dialogue with the police about some of the concerns that the business community has as well. I want to say this has not been a short process. This has been a long process, a dream of the day workers, concerns of the business community, and I want to applaud the city and you, Mayor Potter, for the work that you have put into bringing all of the pieces together that this might be a possibility. I think that the site itself will go a long way towards addressing the mutual concerns that all of the people involved have, providing a safe place, getting people off of the street, and helping us as a community to provide dignity to the workers and respect for the business community. So I urge you to vote for this ordinance, and thank you for your work.
Next three are Billy Burlingham, Emily Cobby, and Alice Perry.
Emily had to leave, and I need her address and phone number because she left her.
Okay. Then Charles Liemert.
What was the last name?
Charles Liemert.
Mr. Liemert.
You're passing. Thank you. Jacob Moss Brucken. Oh, he's coming. You are. Okay. Sorry. And they'll be followed by Robert Kruger, Romeo Sosa, and Ignacio Paramo.
My name is Gilly Burlingham. I'm a member of the Buckman Neighborhood Association Board, and I am here representing the board because our chair, Susan Lindsay, asked me to. She couldn't make it today. We are totally supportive of this project, not surprisingly, perhaps, a personal comment, because it would be leaving our neighborhood and moving to another one. Susan's caveat was that it should indeed be in the location chosen. That's my official statement, now my personal statement. I've been sitting on the Central East Side CPAC committee, that's Community Policing Action Committee, and I have heard from the current business owners, the car dealer and the plaid pantry, and what they describe as horrendous. And who has to deal with this? Usually it's our poor local police having to try to sort out the drug dealers and from the legitimate laborers. The whole situation is absolutely heartbreaking. Have you heard anything that wasn't some aspect of truth today? Your heart goes out to everybody. And, of course, I blame it straight on our Congress, CAFTA, NAFTA. The fact that we haven't faced up to our immigration problems. My heart goes out to union workers in this country who have suffered terribly under conditions that we know well. We really need a fence, I'd say, to keep the cheap corn out from Mexico, because has anybody ever been to Mexico? Who'd want to leave there? It's a wonderful country. Who wouldn't want to stay with their family? Who wants to risk life and limb coming up here and being an illegal person and doing these dirty jobs? My heart goes out most to the laborers, obviously. But we have to point a finger at ourselves. Who's benefiting from this? We are benefiting by our cheaper food, because we are subsidizing our huge agribusiness in the Middle West, the corn, wheat, and we're sending the corn down to Mexico where the local farmer can't produce it cheap enough, so they are starving, so they come up here to make enough money to get something to eat. I would like to say that I have looked at the site, and I don't think it's a great site, but it's such an improvement over what we have now. I echo what...
Your time is up.
I'm sorry. Well, I would like to say that Emily... there were two students here from Lewis and Clark, and they asked if I would read the statement for them, and I felt it wasn't appropriate. But they totally supported the center, too.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Alice Perry, and I'm here today on behalf of the American Friends Service Committee to support the establishment of this day labor center and to applaud the city's support for this important project and the work that the city has done to realize this. Day laborers, the business community, VOS Workers Education Project, the police, and other city officials have worked diligently to find a welcome and workable solution to a problem faced by day laborers in Portland for over 20 years, how to provide a safe, humane, and dignified space for workers as they wait to offer their valuable service to the Portland metropolitan area. Studies across the country have shown that the need for day labor and for day laborers are not going away. Indeed, one researcher, Abel Valenzuela, points to several references to day laborers in the earliest parts of our nation's history. Dr. Valenzuela's research shows that also that both immigrants and U.S.-born citizens offer themselves for day labor, and the day labor centers are an effective way to increase the safety of the workers and to reduce the exploitation of these workers. Portland's day labor community needs the systematization, safety, and shelter that a day laborer center would offer. The center would build on the work that VOS Workers Education Project has done to educate workers on safety, how to avoid exploitation, and community responsibility. Those in opposition may try to dissuade you from moving forward with this important project. Some have reduced day laborers and other immigrants to a word that denotes what they assume is a documentation status of that person. Here are some other words that describe day laborers: gardener, painter, roofer, mover, carpenter. There are still others: artist, poet, musician, future businessman, father, son, mother, sister, because some day laborers are women also, human being. These human beings, members of our Portland community, deserve a dignified, safe, systematized place to offer their important skills they offer the community. I applaud the work the city, the business community, VOS Workers Education Project, and more importantly, the day laborers have done to get us here, and I urge you to approve this project. And AFSC will remain a committed community partner in ensuring that the day labor center is successful. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Father Jack Mossbrooker. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Portland, and I have a letter of a statement of support from the Archbishop, Archbishop Blasney. For the sake of the dignity and well-being of the day laborers who stand on the street corners of our city seeking employment to support themselves and their families, I urge you to vote in favor of the ordinance that would fund a higher site. The higher site will not only create a safe off-street place for these workers, it will allow for improved access to local businesses by reducing sidewalk congestion in the areas where the workers have traditionally waited for work. From what I have observed, I believe VOS will do an excellent job managing the higher site. Thank you for moving this important project forward. Most Reverend John G. Blasney, Archbishop of Portland.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Robert Kruger, Romeo Sosa, and Ignacio Paramo. They'll be followed by Terry Taylor, Hector Hurtado, and Meg Heaton.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
I'm Robert Kruger. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Portland and moderator at St. Francis Catholic Church. I'd just like to make several comments. First of all, I think we're talking about human rights and basic human right of a person to work and to fulfill their humanity through their work and to support themselves and support their families, and to do that in an environment of justice. And this has been declared as a right by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations, and it is part of the covenant on human rights that's been signed by 155 countries, so that it's become kind of customary law in the world. So that's the level at which we're talking. We have very vulnerable people who are suffering from exploitation and unsafe situations. They are people like ourselves. They are people who have families. They are people of faith. Every year, probably 50 or so of them leave the work site in a procession on Our Lady of Guadalupe Day to pray and to sing hymns. They are like all of us who need the support of a civic community around us. And so I urge you to vote in favor of this resolution.
My name is Ignacio Paramo, and formerly I was a day laborer when I just arrived to Portland a few years ago, but recently I became an organizer with the organization Voz. I just want to say that we day laborers, we are not criminals. We are hard worker people, and many times we come to the corners because we don't have options. Many times we don't have many options. So we just come to look for work, trying to feed in our families. We don't come to create problems at the corners. We like to work together with the communities in their businesses. We've been developing another different programs with the communities that we're gathering. But we are the more vulnerable because we're in the streets and we suffer all kind of abuses. Let me just mention what happened like a couple weeks ago. This person came offering jobs for day laborers, saying that he has a company and he has this big project going on, so he needs like 40 workers. But he said, but in order to give you a job, you need to sign in the union, because I want to offer union jobs. So he said, you got to pay like a basic fee to get in that I can offer you a job. So many of my partners need a job, so they say they agree to pay $100. So this guy rip up like over 12 day laborers. Whenever they pay the money, this guy disappear. So we're trying to look him and we never find it. So all those kind of abuses happen. So I think that with a work center, with a heart inside, we will have the chance to have more control who's coming to the center and reduce all these kind of abuses that we suffer. So I strongly recommend that you support this program, this project.
My name is Romeo Sosa, and thank you for give me the opportunity to testify today. I'm the director of VOS, Workers' Right Education Project. For 7 years, VOS, Workers' Right Education Project, has been organizing day laborers in Portland. Day laborers are among the most economically vulnerable low-wages workers in our community. I just want to talk also a little bit, like many other people, they have say, day laborers are not only Latinos. They are Americans, they are Asians, they are African Americans too. They come to the corners. People who are need for work for a day, they arrive to the corner. And let me tell a little bit like how did I arrive at the corner. They come in a bicycle, they come in the bus, they come in, some of them they have a car. Some of them they have a part-time job, so they just go to the end, like weekends there. And so there are a variety of reasons why the people are at the corner. And also, I want to mention then this population, it's been targeting by abusive employers. Constantly in the office comes people who report like non-payment of wages. There's a lot of exploitation. There's a lot of wage and hour violation and rampant in the day labor industry. Day labor are high risk for occupational fatalities and injuries. Only last year, we recuperated about $30,000 and for 40 cases who arrived to our office. So VOS is trying to address these issues. And I'm asking today to you to support. This is going to be, the Day Labor Center is going to be to build community and not to divide our community. It's going to be, it's an issue of safety and workers' rights. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next three are Hector Hurtado, Meg Heaton, and Jeff Zucker. And they'll be followed by, I believe it's Akhlid Caro, Thomas Wheatley, and Noel C.B.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Good morning. I'm Hector. I want to testify about in the corner. I'm a hard worker from there, and every day I have to go there to get some job. And we have a lot of trouble there because we are too many people trying to get a job, and we don't are organized, and we have to be organized and have a place for a stay. And I want to say we need some place like an office, something like that. And we would like you help us. And I think we work hard and we try to get some skills like learn English and some skills for get a job. And thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Meg Heaton. I am a staff attorney at the Northwest Workers Justice Project, which is a nonprofit that represents low-wage immigrant and contingent workers in their employment disputes. I'd like to commend the city for taking this action. Currently, day laborers are trapped in a lawless system where there's little hope for enforcement of wage and safety laws. There's no incentive for employers to abide by those laws because it's so hard for these workers to enforce their rights. And day laborers themselves will tell you that being ripped off for wages and getting hurt on the job is all too frequent. By centralizing the day laborers, we'll be able to hold those employers accountable. And by providing services for the day laborers, we'll minimize the disruption for our neighbors. Now, there's no evidence that providing a day labor center will increase the number of illegal workers in Portland. And in fact, by centralizing them and by being able to hold employers accountable, those employers are actually less likely to undercut other American workers. Our immigration system is broken, but labeling workers as illegals isn't helpful. Portland's responsibility is to protecting the quality of life of its residents by bringing order to the chaos of the current system. The city will be able to benefit all of the residents of Portland. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Zucker. I'm a resident in the area. I probably live closer to where the day laborers currently gather than almost anyone, and I live about four blocks from the corner of 6th and Ankeny. I've had some personal experience. Almost any time I leave the house, I walk through crowds of day laborers. I've seen them in the neighborhood many times. I've also, in the time I've lived there, I've seen and heard at all hours of the night people yelling and drunks in the neighborhood. And none of those people that I personally have witnessed who've been doing the yelling and drinking and carousing late at night have been day laborers. They've been yuppies from the bars on Burnside, which, as a person that lives in the neighborhood, they're much more disruptive to me than day laborers ever have been. As I walk through them, I've never been threatened, I've never been panhandled, I've never been bothered in any way by the people that are coming there to look for work, not to look for trouble. So I do strongly support the center. Just to give you a personal experience again, I was coming home the other day and I saw an older Hispanic man covered in paint. And his clothes were splattered. How did he get that paint? He was kind of walking tiredly away. He got that by painting the office or home of someone in this community. So the day laborers are a support to our community, not taking away from it. So I thank you for your work in protecting them.
Next three are Aklid, I believe it's Caro, on Northeast Winona, and Thomas Wheatley. Noel C.B. Is Noel? Okay, how about Helen Moose? Thank you. They'll be followed by Carol Cheney, Chris Ferlazzo, and Chiozoko Hazimoto.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. Each have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I think my penmanship is so bad. My name is Andrea Cano. And I'm the executive director of the Oregon Farm Worker Ministry. And I wanted to first thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for your service to the city and for the diligence of your staff to really move this process through. It has been quite comprehensive, and I've just gotten today the sense of what depth and quality that has been done for the last few months and last year. So thank you. I also, again, join many others here in encouraging you to release the grant to the VOS Workers' Rights Education Project. Because our hardworking urban and rural workers are hired by thousands of individuals and companies throughout the state, because they are precisely skilled and experienced in the variety of jobs, temporary and seasonal jobs that they're offered, and as you've heard today, that they do contribute to the economic activity of this metropolitan region, even in the face of potential wage theft and no benefits and no insurance. But the experience and the wisdom of the staff of the VOS Education Rights Project is essential in coordinating the urban this urban endeavor and giving really critical oversight, as you've heard today. We endorse VOS's work and, most importantly, VOS's commitment to problem solving, to community building, and to strengthening the relationships with the local businesses near the hire site. So Mayor Potter and Commissioners, your affirmative vote today would signal your trust in the VOS Workers' Rights Education Project and your promise to keeping Portland as a city that works, every single part of it. Thank you.